Good morning.
It's great to be back in the house of our Lord. See some new faces. Welcome. Today we're going to be continuing in the Gospel of John. If you're new or you just joining us, it is on sermon audio. We started at the beginning and we're now in chapter 6. We'll be in verses 22 to 40 today. As we've been working our way through, we see a multitude that have been following Christ because of the miracles starting back in chapter 4. It really started to gain some momentum and the crowd started to follow him because of the miracles that they were seeing. So we're getting to the first of the I Ams. There's seven I Ams. Eight, if you count the great I Am, where Christ said, I am, before Abraham was, I am. He says, I am God. Gospel of John proclaims God's Christ's deity. He's equal with God. John 17. He is one with the Father in every way. The first of the I Ams, I'm the bread of life. We'll be going over today. The light of the world, the door, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, and the true vine. All of these have Old Testament significance that most Jews should have seen but often did not. Bread is significant in that it nourishes us. Food in general is referred to as bread. Like you say you're breaking bread with your neighbors, you're eating bread. It's sustenance, it's essential for life. You can live for 6 months on bread and water alone. You will eventually get scurvy due to the lack of vitamin C. Just learned that recently as I was studying. The Word of God is often referred to as the bread of life. John 6, verses 22 to 40, Christ, the bread of life. I've read John so many times. I'm so taken back every time I dive into it a little deeper and a little deeper. And you understand the significance of everything that Christ said, everything that John's saying. I'm truly blown away every time. Our focus, like I said, is verses 22 to 40 in chapter 6. You would all stand if you're able. Let's give honor to God's word. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one in which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, the other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into the boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And they found him on the other side of the sea, saying to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon him. Then they said to him, What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered them and said, This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. Therefore they said to him, What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the man in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down to heaven, not from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all that he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Almighty God, as we come to this portion of your word, this bread of life, this soul-stirring bread, this nourishment to our souls, we just ask you bless the preaching of your word. Let it go forth and accomplish all that you set forth to do. We love you and praise your holy name, and all of God's children said, amen. So the following day, Jesus was performing miracle after miracle, and they see this. He feeds them. People like to eat. And they were trying to make a king of him by force. They were like, this guy's got everything we need, so we're going to set him up. He can provide what we need, and everything's going to be good. And he escaped. He had sent his disciples away in the boat. He went to the mountain to pray. So they only found the boat the disciples had taken, so they didn't know exactly where Jesus had went. And he went to the mountain to pray, and they were kind of confused because they knew the disciples had left, but they didn't know where Christ was. In Matthew 14, we're told that they got into the boat. Like I said, he went up into the mountain, and there was no mistake. Jesus was not on that boat, right? Verse 23, the boats that came from Tiberias, maybe taxing these people, like there's a big buzz about Christ feeding everybody. They wanted to eat breakfast. So they wake up still hungry from the night before. They wanted breakfast. And these taxis, they may have been taxing people from the other side, or maybe they were seeking a free meal for themselves. It's not understood completely why the other boats came. So they realize he's not there, nor his disciples. And they get in the boats. They go to Capernaum also. So they go across the Sea of Galilee. The next morning they were hungry. They sought him, but it was for the wrong reason. And a lot of times that's the world we live in. We're seeking Christ for the wrong reasons, or some false disciples, false converts. They want sustenance. They want a new car, and they're easy targets for this easy believism, or the seeker sensitive, or the name it, claim it crowds, the NAR, the Pentecostal movement. Like, I want that car, Lord, make it happen. This childish, false belief, this false faith comes from this. So they witnessed healings, they were fed. So this, you know, Christ had it going on. They could benefit from him physically, but they were missing the big picture. So one example that I can remember, there were two ladies at my work, and one had an ailment, and the other lady, she was from California, and I think she was part of that NAR crowd. She often told me that she was prophetic, and she, you know, could prophesy over things, and I just kind of ignored it for the most part for the sake of not getting in an argument. But the one lady had an ailment, and she told me, "You know, when I reach glory, I'll be healed." And she was counting on that promise. And the other ladies, I want to be healed now. She wants it now. And that's the mentality that some of us have, either temporarily, or that's how we look at God, as this big magic genie in the sky that gives us what we want. And you know, the only thing that God promises the believer is that we will suffer. That's the only promise that we have. Are we blessed? Yes, absolutely. We're blessed beyond measure. If you drove here in a car, you're rich. If you live in a house, you're rich. If you got food in your refrigerator, you're rich. You are absolutely blessed physically. That's not the point. One was spiritually minded, those two ladies, and one was earthly minded. One carnally minded, one it now. One spiritually minded, sacrificial worship. I know what the future holds. Prosperity, the prosperity gospel. Gimme, 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 like a spoiled child. That's what we see, right? We live in the United States and we're spoiled, spoiled children. This American dream that's been fed to us and fed to us. And all we want is more, more, more. We consume and we waste. You call yourself a child of God? Are you looking to the things of God? Or are you just looking at what's right in front of you? I want that new car. If I could just have this, Lord, things would be great. If I had that new job, Lord, this would be great. Not, Lord, how could I glorify you? Not, Lord, let me seek your faith. We're stuck in the here and now. Notice they address him as Rabbi. When did you come here? Rabbi, Master. It kind of reminds me of the conversation with Nicodemus, only they got a question out. They said, how did you get here? When Nicodemus came, he said, before Nicodemus could even answer a question, he's like, you must be born again. And it's kind of the same thing here. He answers them and said, when did you get here? Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say, you did not seek me because you saw the signs, because you saw, ate the loaves and were filled. Oh, they wanted breakfast. Feed us, Lord. We're here. Feed us. Most assuredly, verily, verily, amen, amen. Truly, truly, the most truest thing I'm getting ready to say to you, I said it twice. That's in Jewish tradition when they wanted to emphasize something, they said it twice. Truly, truly. You didn't seek me because you saw the sign, because you ate of the bread and were filled. Seeking him for the wrong reasons. You want more food. You want more blessings from the signs that I've given, confirming who I am. The signs came with his confirmation. He was God in the flesh. It's no different today. I want it now. I want it yesterday. And then Jesus says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you because God the Father has set his seal upon him. Do not chase after temporal blessings. Today, if we want bread, we go to the store and buy it, right? Any kind of bread you want. Right down the road. It wasn't so back then. It was obviously a big deal to have food back then. Instant food. We can pop a meal in the microwave and eat in 3 minutes. Wasn't so back then. The word should have been, Jesus, we're hungry. It's morning. We just came across the Sea of Galilee and it's time to eat. And then this harsh rebuke comes. Do not labor for that which perishes. Instead, labor for the food which endures to everlasting life. He's steering them away from the temporal. This is not important. This is not important. Look to the eternal, Deuteronomy 8:3. Man does not live by bread alone, but what? By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. They needed spiritual nourishment, which only Christ can give. Why? Because the Father has set his seal upon him. Christ alone has the authority to dispense the spiritual food, the food that comes from the Father, the food that satisfies your hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's only in Christ. The response, okay, what do we need to do? What works are necessary for this eternal life so we can get back to the business at hand? We're hungry. I still don't get it. What do we need to do? What works? Them coming out of, they're Jewish, they're coming out of a works-based salvation. What are the works that we need to do? Tell us, Lord, and we'll do it. Not as simple as what he told Nicodemus, you must be born again, you've got to start over, everything you've done up until now is worthless. Start from here and go. I wanted to know. Similar to the rich young ruler, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? I want to know these works so I can get my meal ticket and be done. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is by grace alone. Man is justified by faith apart from his deeds. Verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him who He sent." So He puts it in their language, kind of. This is the work of God. Okay, you want some works? Here's the work. You believe. That's the only work. It's the only thing you can do. Salvation is of no human effort, no good works. Good works are a byproduct of salvation, a byproduct of genuine faith, according to Ephesians 2, verse 10. Works are natural to the child of God, according to James 2:26. Whereas the body without the spirit is dead, faith without works is also dead. Spirit, the Greek is pneuma, means breath or air, breath of the lungs, just as the body apart from the spirit is dead, apart from breathing. So James is essentially saying that good works are as natural to the believer as breathing, or should be. Therefore they said to him, "What signs shall you perform that we may see it and believe you?" After they've seen all these other things, like, we need a sign. What sign will you perform that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. So why should we believe you? You know, you've only turned water into wine. You know, the Samaritan woman talked to a Jew, which is kind of a miracle in and of itself, if you know anything about the history of that. He healed the nobleman's son. He made the sick man walk. He fed 5,000 people. But now what are you going to do? Right? He asked for breakfast another way. You know? Hey, I know. Our fathers ate manna in the desert. You know, they're pointing back to Exodus 16. Verse 15 of Exodus 16. The word manna here is used in a different way. It's the first time that manna is considered bread, because when the dew rolled back, the bread was there, and the Jew said, "What is it?" Manna literally means, "What is it?" The dew lifted, the bread which was the Lord had given was there. So the bread from heaven is manna. What is it? So the manna in the wilderness was life-sustaining for the Jews. They just came out of bondage. They just came out of Egypt. And they were in the desert for 40 years. They were given bread to eat. What is it? Life-sustaining bread. And this was a foreshadowing of Christ. And it's interesting here, they say manna, and in the Greek, it's manna. And in the Greek, bread, which Christ uses, artos, which is literal bread. So they're using their own language, the what is it? And Christ is saying, it's me. I'm the bread. Not the what is it. I'm it. So this life-sustaining bread that when they came out of Egypt, got them through. And these people weren't really interested in going back to some Old Testament theology. They just wanted to eat. So they're still kind of going around the about way of wanting breakfast. That's all they're doing. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say again." So it's listen up, people. Verily, verily, most assuredly, amen, amen. Listen up. it was my Father that gave you them bread from heaven. It wasn't Moses. My Father, the true bread, came from God. Verse 33. The bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He who comes down, the bread that gives life to the world. So this is meaning not only Jews, but the rest of those who would believe, Jew and Gentile. Gives life to the world. And they said to Him, Lord, give us this bread always. Still, wanting bread, physical bread. Still not getting it. They switched from Rabbi to Lord. I guess they thought maybe, hey, Lord, still hungry, still not getting it, still carnally minded, still wanting breakfast, still focusing on the temporal, the here and now, what's right in front of me, still wanting blessings. Blessings that fade away. They say, Lord, give us this bread always. Just feed us. It's really what we want. And Jesus finally lays it all out, right? He says, I am the bread of life. It's me. Okay? Right here. I'm the bread. You're not getting it. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He was never referring to this actual food when he started this conversation. Not physical needs, but spiritual needs. That was his point all along. I'm what you need. The human need was to know God. Psalm 42, my soul thirsts for God, the living God. Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I am the bread, the one born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. The one without sin, the unleavened bread, no sin. I am the Word of God, by which you can be made full, spiritually full, spiritual bread, Christ. Verse 36, again a rebuke, but I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. They've seen the signs, they asked for more. He told them exactly who he was, and still they didn't believe. The Lord of glory standing in front of you, saying, I'm what you need. Still they didn't believe. They did not hunger and thirst for righteousness. They were stuck in the temporal. They were simply hungry. It's bread you need right in front of you. These miracles only fueled their desire for more miracles. Like, just give me more. That's why they wanted to make him king. Give me more. Give me more. This is the one that can fulfill our every need. You hear the atheist, if God would just reveal himself to me. He did. He reveals himself to us by his word. He stood right in front of people that refused to believe him. Told them boldly to their face, I am. I'm what you need. Why didn't they believe? Couldn't. They were focused on the temporal. They can't get past themselves to see what they need. In verse 37 here, this is the Armenian first nightmare. You know, they can't get past John 3:16. And when they quote John 3:16 to me, I'm like, have you read the rest of John? Maybe chapter 6, for instance, chapter 10, chapter 17. Don't get hung up on John 3:16. It's great. It's not all of John. It's not even close to a summary of John. Jesus says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Life is not everlasting life. Unless it's everlasting. You know, the Arminian will teach you that you can mess up bad enough to lose your salvation. How so? God can't grant you eternal life and say, oh, by the way, that wasn't eternal because lo and behold, you're a sinner. And you always were a sinner. You're just a sinner saved by grace. Not according to the Arminian. You cannot lose your salvation if you're a true child of God. Barney brought up, one pastor had said, I know you brought up to the pastor, he said, how can God have ever known me and then not know me? Good question. I can't never have not known my wife or not known my son or my daughter. I have never have not known if I develop amnesia. You can't. First John tells us those that depart from us were never of us. They were never truly saved. They were never truly children of God. Maybe the ones searching for temporal blessings that didn't get it and fall away. The seed sowed in stony ground. You see God's sovereignty in the situation. Jesus wasn't discouraged by their unbelief. He was resting in God's sovereignty. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one that comes to me, I'll be no means cast out. The ones who are going to come are going to come. The ones who aren't going to believe will not. It's not as if they said in the Arminian or Pelagian, semi-Pelagian belief, all that the Father has given me, that said that prayer and signed that card, and don't mess up too bad because the everlasting gift that I give you, you know, I'll take it away. Nowhere is that in Scripture. So this love gift of God, God's gift to the Son, is His church, us, His bride. He can't turn it down. Those who desire the spiritual nourishment are children. The atonement of Christ, you know, they can't get past the limit of atonement of the tulip. And whether you like it or not, the atonement of Christ is limited. Either way you look at it, no matter how you slice it, either God limited it or man, which I don't know how man has anything to do with the plan of God in any situation. You know, they'll bring up, well, what about 2 Peter 3:9? Look at 2 Peter 1. Verse 1, let's just do it. I get this so much. Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us, Peter being a believer, these are the ones. Now if you flip over to 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Long-suffering toward us, not willing that any, there's a qualifier, who's it written to? Believers. He's bringing those to faith in His own time frame. He's patient with those that he's bringing to faith. The audience is believers. Patiently. In John 17, verse 2, you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Eternal life is through Christ. Grace through faith, Ephesians 2. Big question for the Armenian. I've asked this. Which is a greater God? The God that comes and saves you in spite of you. You're dead in trespasses and sins. Nothing. Dead men can't do anything but stink. And he breathes new life into you. He says, you're mine. Or the one that says, you have to activate this gift by something that you can do, which you can't because you're dead. Which is the greater God? Not one has said. Well, I prayed this prayer, so God owes it to me. I activated this salvation. Not one of the most devout Armenians I've ever talked to have said that. One the other day said, God can't make you love him. We love him because he first loved us. God is sovereign. He's bringing his children to himself. He is holy. He is magnificent. I want to read a few verses. This is in John, later on in the same chapter. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. When we get to that, pay special attention to the word draw. I'm not going to give it away yet. Josh will probably go over that. And he was saying, for this reason, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father. That's in verse 65, John 6. For many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 22:14. When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as have been appointed to eternal life believed. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And then these whom he justified, he glorified. God is just and justified. He is holy and he is magnificent. He is a Savior. We should stand in awe. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me. All he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up on the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. I will raise him up on the last day. He who came to do the will of the Father. What's the will of the Father? To bring a people unto himself. He's holy. He's just. His justice must be satisfied. I think Josh said it last week. Either we pay for it or Christ paid for it. For the believer, God sees nothing but his Son in us. He sees the righteousness of Christ in us. In chapter 4, verse 34, here in John, Christ said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. In doing God's will, Christ guarantees the salvation of the elect. The elect will be raised up on the last day intact. No one can be snatched from his hand. No one can be snatched from the hand of God. Nothing you can do and thwart the will of God. All that he knew, he called, he justified and glorified. eternal life, again, is not eternal. If it's not eternal, it's not a temporal eternity. It's an oxymoron. You can't get there from here. So what do you hunger for? Ask yourselves. You think of the kingdom of heaven. What do you most look forward to? You look for that mansion, the streets of gold, seeing your loved one, all your sorrows taken away, no more tears, no more worries, no more pain, no more bills to pay. We like bills. When you think of the kingdom of heaven, is it those things? Or is it this? I'll be in the presence of an almighty God, the Holy One of Israel, and in the presence of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one whose train of his robe fills the temple because he is so glorious. According to Isaiah, one that humbled himself as a man because of the justice of God, came down, lived a perfect life. And because God is so just, his justice must be satisfied. Handed himself over to sinful man and was punished by sinful man, simultaneously taking the wrath of God on our behalf, that we may cry out, Abba, Father. That we're conformed to his likeness. We're made whole. I would really like to know what it's like not to sin. Wouldn't you? And that you may worship him in eternity. What does your heaven look like? Is it the things that we can get here? Or is it something much more? Is it spiritual? Or is it temporal? That said, the only promise we have here is to suffer. It's nothing compared to the glory that we will see and we'll share in Christ. We're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Isn't that amazing? As we move into communion, just remember this bread. This represents the body which was broken for you. I've said this many times. When you take this bread, you're about to do, put it in your hand. You can tear it, you can bend it, you can crush it. And I want you to consider Psalm 22. Let's just read it. This bread, this body. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season I am silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, the reproach of men, despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot up the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Be not far from me. The trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me, strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All of my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. And my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard, my praise shall be with you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord forever. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom of the Lord is the Lord's, and he rules all over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him. He who cannot keep himself alive, a posterity will self-serve him. It will be recounted to the Lord for the next generation, and they will come and declare his righteousness to the people who will be born that he has done this. Pierced. It says he was pierced for our transgressions.